Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Wednesday, join us as we explore heart health and homeopathy, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath, Debbie Brook, with Dr. Adil Chimthanawala Kasim, MD cardiologist. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community. Today is December 7th, 2011. This is show number 8 with our co-host, Dr. Adil Kasim, MD, who is a fourth-generation homeopath. Dr. Adil, MD, belongs to the fourth generation of the reputed family of the Chimthalawalas, who have always been devoted to the service of homeopathy for over 105 years. Practically every facet of the homeopathic system, including professional practice, developing clinics and hospitals, homeopathic research, academics, business, manufacturing, and propagation are all an integral part of the entire family. Today in central India, the name Chimthalawala is synonymous with homeopathy. You're going to learn so much in our shows, and we do appreciate your questions. Today, Dr. Adil is having a little difficulty getting connectivity to the internet, so he is presently shutting down his computer and restarting to see if he can get on. The topic for today is rheumatic heart fever disease, and we're going to be talking about that at length. But first, I would like to just remind everybody that he has produced quite a number of shows. This is show number 8, and we have talked all about keeping your heart healthy, hypertension, and the diseases that are prevalent today in our society, and especially in India. So I will continue to try and get contact with him until we can get started here. And in the meantime, we also have many wonderful articles written by homeopaths on the Homeopathy World Community Network. And there is one by Dr. Rajneesh Kumar Sharma, MD, regarding rheumatic heart disease and homeopathy. And this is available directly as a download on the network. So we do know that there is rheumatic heart disease is a condition in which the heart valves are damaged by rheumatic fever and an inflammatory condition affecting several body tissues, including the heart, the brain, and the joints. It can affect actually anyone of any age, but we most commonly see it developing in children, especially after a strep or strep throat infection. And Dr. Sharma says that this is the sora miasm. It is called strep pharyngitis and caused by the Streptococcus hemolytic Lancefield group, a gram-positive bacterium that has progressed and has been left untreated. It is the most common bacterial infection in the throat. And you know that when you go to the physician, you get a swab to test for the microorganisms. In his article, he goes into quite a bit of detail about the lab work and how the fever is what leads to the rheumatic heart disease when the valves of the heart can become diseased due to this disorder. And it's the inflammation. And we know inflammation is a big part of disease in almost all disease today. Many of physicians consider inflammation something that needs to be dealt with nutritionally and in lifestyle, as well as from types of infection. I realized that I did not put the live chat on today, and I can do that now as we wait for Dr. Otto to come on the line. Hopefully he will be able to. If not, then I will just be solo today, and what we can do is re-record for a future session with Dr. Otto. So we know that this inflammation is the problem, and the signs and symptoms that are included with this condition affects the valves of the heart. The symptoms are similar to those with other conditions with the valves, and they include things like dizziness, chest pain, shortness of breath, and tiredness. There actually may be no symptoms initially, but they can develop over the course of time, which indicates that somebody might have gotten strep throat, but initially they don't realize that it is damaged or beginning to damage the heart. Again, the symptoms include sudden onset of a sore throat, pain on swallowing, and everyone has been able to feel that, fever, usually 101 to 104 Fahrenheit, and when it gets that high, you know that that's a danger zone. Then you also will see headache, which we assume is due to inflammation. And then there is the red throat and the tonsils. So when you go to the doctor, open up and say, you're going to see that inflammation, that redness, that perhaps sensation of burning and difficulty even opening the mouth or in swallowing. There can also, in addition to those direct to the throat where the strep is, in the abdominal area, there can be pain, nausea, and even vomiting, especially in children. In some people, strep throat is very mild with just a few symptoms, and also the sore throats are, of course, caused more often by viruses than by the strep infection. Viral throat infections don't raise the risk of rheumatic heart fever. And I'm going to be checking throughout to see, whether Dr. Otto is able to come on. Okay, so we've got the chat on, and that's good. Continuing with the information for today, we've got the symptoms of rheumatic heart fever, which we talked about just now. And in addition, there are some more symptoms. Besides the fever, you could find, through palpitation, painful, tender, red, swollen joints. Pain in one joint that actually migrates to another one. Heart palpitations, chest pain, shortness of breath, skin rashes, fatigue, and small, painless nodules under the skin. So this is a composite picture of many different things that you can be looking at when you have a fever. So if you're a parent, you're going to be looking for all of these different signs and symptoms, because we can have a sore throat, we can have a fever, and it not lead to rheumatic heart fever. It's only in the composite picture of all of these things together. Upon clinical examination, there is mitral stenosis. Symptoms of the pulmonary congestion would be dyspnea, cough on occasion, and hematosis. Signs and symptoms of pulmonary venous congestion include the right heart volume and pressure overload. And when you get to read Dr. Sharma's printout, he provides for us with each symptom a miasmatic connection, and that helps for a homeopath to decide which of the remedies is going to work for that particular individual who is showing these symptoms. And when you're listening to the heart, you're going to hear different types of sounds, whether it is a heart murmur or opening snap to the diastolic pressure. He provides an echocardiography bit of information. So we're going to see a lot of this heart damage probably in older age, but perhaps Dr. Otto, if he's able to get on, can, you know, he can always chat with me and I can report. I can relay his information via the Skype, or he can get on to the chat line and comment there, and then I can read it out loud, because he's having a difficulty to actually, with his connectivity, get on to the line and call in. Let's move on to a little bit more about the rheumatic heart fever. There are specifics, and probably you're going to want to learn about the heart and what happens to the heart when there is this disease. And he provides information that is viewed through catheterization so that they can actually take a good look at the heart and see what is happening to it, the pathological changes. The diagnosis of aortic stenosis may be difficult, as the condition may be asymptomatic for a number of years. The clinical suspicion is often raised by the presence of this triad of symptoms: angina, syncope or syncope, and heart failure. All three of those will indicate that there has been some kind of change to the heart itself. There are physical findings such as slowly rising the carotid pulse that is sustained, and late peaking systolic murmur that is typically harsh in quality. So here the doctor is going to be listening carefully to the heart and what is the contrast between the normal sounding heart and the diseased heart, which are showing these types of changes. They can also do a Doppler echocardiograph to see the aortic valve gradient and the aortic valve area. This will confirm their findings from the catheterization. Most adult patients being considered for the aortic valve replacement will require preoperative cardiac catheterization to determine the extent of concomitant coronary artery disease. Then you've also got the mitral regurgitation, and these are also findings from the pulsations and the enlarged point of the maximal impulse. So these are very, very technical terms and technical things that the physician is looking for. He will look on the radiological exams and look at the scans, the x-rays, and see what it looks like inside the body. And these are provided in the handout. There are many, a long list of laboratory investigations that can include the valvular aortic stenosis, human immunodeficiency virus infection, aortic valve insufficiency, Kawasaki disease, bicuspid aortic valve, congenital mitral stenosis, appendicitis, mitral valve insufficiency, arthritis, which could go septic, mitral valve prolapse, cardiac tumors, viral myocarditis, dilated cardiomyopathy, malignant pericardial effusion, carnitine deficiency, bacterial pericarditis, coccidioidomycosis, please forgive my pronunciation, viral pericarditis, bacterial endocarditis, sarcoidosis, congestive heart failure, which is something we've talked about in the past in our last show, systemic lupus, erythematosus, and histoplasmosis. Now, that is a really long list of differential diagnoses. So you're going to want to look at comparatively the rheumatic heart fever compared to these other types of diseases and how they are related or similar and dissimilar to make sure that the diagnosis is correct. Okay, so then in the handout, there is a whole repertory, a very long list of symptoms that are going to be looked at, from enlarged abdomen, bladder complaints, difficulty urination, difficulty breathing, an aneurysm in the chest, and chest anxiety. And there's a lot of rubrics that deal with chest anxiety in the heart region itself, whether there is difficulty during the meal, on exertion, on lying down, on moving about in the nighttime. Whether this anxiety happens intermittently or paroxysmally, whether there are rheumatic complaints, rising and walking about. And these are the types of anxieties, and there's a long list of homeopathic remedies related to all of these types of anxiety. And we also have coldness in the chest region. It seems strange, but I suppose someone could feel that way. There is congestion of the heart. Constriction, tightness would be felt in this state of acute rheumatic heart disease. There is tension and tightness felt, and there are a number of remedies for that, such as cactus, we know, is that cage-like sensation around the heart, asafoetida and kalmia. There is dilatation of the heart, and of course, edema, pulmonary edema is a major symptom. There is even a sensation of the heart being enlarged, and I'm wondering that the individual who is having this disease, how it is felt, how he would describe this sensation. Once again, there is fatty degeneration in the heart with a whole number of remedies listed, including our famous arnica, arsenicum, aurum metallicum, and aurum. Cactus will come into play, calicarb, and phosphorus, all wonderful heart remedies, plus many more. So another way of feeling this enlargement, a person might say there is a fullness sensation in the heart, or having gout, that is included. Now, I think typically of gout being the limbs, the joints, but here in the repertory, we can look up a rubric for having a gouty heart. And let me check in the chat room here. We have Dr. Otto, please correct me, please add information, and I will try to work simultaneously with reading the information that we have and your comments, which I can speak out loud onto the show. Let me know how I'm doing here, because it all happens so quickly. So what I'm doing is I'm giving you information from Dr. Rajni Sharma, one of our blessed and most often bloggers on Homeopathy World Community, and he has provided so many very extensive handouts on many diseases. So please, if you're listening and you're on the show here, I will check again to see if you've been able to sign in. Unfortunately, no, but we will continue here for a little while, and you will fill us in on everything that I'm missing here today. So The chest region and the heart region of the chest it's talked about rheumatism, metastasis to the heart region. So that's probably where we get the name rheumatic heart fever. So it is this rheumatism that we're dealing with. And specifically, I can list a few remedies here. Aconite, arsenicum, aurum, bryonia, causticum, calmia, lachesis, pulsatilla, and spigelia. Those are listed specifically to the heart. Although we know that we have so many wonderful remedies to choose from. Then if there is heart failure and weakness due to the heart, we have Adonis and ammonium carb and arsenicum. With heart failure, there are also many other remedies listed. It looks like we have quite a few snake remedies like crotalus, and we have crataegus, which is a very good heart supporter. It really is wonderful just in general to support the heart in many different potencies. And maybe, Dr. Otto, if you're there, you can tell me if you can recommend crataegus as a mother tincture or if it is used on a regular basis or if there's any other remedy that you choose to suggest. There are a specific unusual complaint that somebody might have is if there's swelling of the left hand. With, in addition to all the other heart complaints, as we said, constriction and cactus comes up here. There are complaints of the heart, also rheumatic complaints, lithium carb, interestingly enough, which is, as we know, used as a depression remedy, typically allopathically, and yet here it comes up in our homeopathic repertory for using for the heart. And we know how much the heart is our seat of depression. Besides it being in the mind, it is the mind and the heart are connected as one. We have alternating complaints with the heart and the rheumatic complaints. And when it's alternating, one item listed is benzoic acid. Dr. Otto, you know, I'm doing my best to fill in for you today since we scheduled the show and everything, and Dr. Otto is feeling sad that he's not able to speak directly because I'm sure he prepared so much, but I'm not saying everything that he would say, and he has his own way of speaking through his real life experience that with all of his patients and giving us stories. And so what we will do is we will fill in on that. Either I will upload a new recorded version of today's show, or we can add something in the coming weeks. And we're going to also want to know about the next show, which will be December 14th with Dr. Otto, unless we can reschedule more previous to that time. And so we're just going to check on how much time we have. It's been about, I can talk for a little bit longer and then we can fill in more for the next time. I'm going to check on the chat today too to see if there's any other comments and questions. We have a couple of people on the line, but no real questions there that we need to address. And if you do have questions concerning rheumatic heart fever, please send them in. And then on the following show, Dr. Otto can address those specific questions. So also, it seems that in the repertory, we've got complaints with the heart valve specifically. In the room, you've got a composition of rheumatic pains, complaints with the heart valves, and this disease, and two remedies come up, lithium carb again and colchicum. And if you just look at heart complaints in general, there are at least 50 remedies. So make sure that you do see a professional homeopath for care in any of these types of serious diseases. They know how to perceive what remedies are best. Okay, so Dr. Adel is speaking here on the live chat. He's saying that the rheumatic heart disease is a fascinating topic and widely prevalent, meaning that perhaps he is seeing it very commonly in India, and that homeopathy has a tremendous role to play. And we just, quite a few people just joined us on the live chat today. Thank you for tuning in. Dr. Adel is having some problems with his connection. So he's on the live chat with us, telling us that drugs such as pulsatilla and eupatorium perforata are wonderful for treating rheumatic heart fever. And we're going to learn a lot more about that when he is able to get on the line and we can upload a revised version of today's show. We also, maybe you would like to address, Dr. Adel, the fact that I'm seeing not only pulsatilla, spigelia, spongia, lobelia, so we've got aconite, we've got quite a few plant remedies, but in addition to that, the major mineral remedy that shows up is the lithium carb and aurum metallicum and aurum. And plus, we have so many snake remedies I mentioned before, and lachesis and nausea. And so he's telling us that circuita verosa, benzoic acid, are good for the valvular stenosis. And we already went through, I think, the symptoms of rheumatic fever at the beginning of the today's show. But if we need to review those again, we can do that. Interestingly enough, there's so many different symptoms related to the heart and to rheumatic heart fever and the long-term effects, such as heat or flushes of heat, even directly, not just the whole body, but directly in the heart region. We have hypertrophy of the heart, numbness and tingling, especially it seems when we're dealing with the heart, symptoms appear on the left side of the body, such as numbness and tingling in the arm and the fingers. And here, not only pulsatilla is listed, but rustoxacondrin and aconite. Aconite, we know, is an acute remedy for fear of dying. So you can see if you are having these symptoms, a person who is very concerned with their heart can immediately feel like, oh, I'm dying. This is I could predict the time of death or something, and aconite is going to come in here. Do we have anything else? Rheumatic heart fever can permanently damage the heart valves, I assume. And that was one of the questions there in the chat. As we said before, inflammation is a major component of this disease. So endocarditis and the inflammation in the joints, when that comes into play, we're looking at kalmia. I think kalmia is related to the rhododendron family. And I don't know whether we want to continue on with this list. If people are interested in hearing more, I'm happy to continue. Otherwise, we're going to probably end the show shortly and fill in with another show where Dr. Adel can answer your questions directly. We know I mentioned earlier about the symptoms that there you can look the symptoms up in the repertory. The physician will definitely do that. They can look up heart murmur. They can look oppression of chest. You know, you're going to feel this heaviness, this weight, this oppression. We're going to see very often this alternating of symptoms with the joints, with the pain, inflammation, the gouty joints, plus then the symptoms in the heart, and he mentioned benzoic acid, kalmia are the main ones for that, endocarditis, keeps coming up again and again. We're going to find there's pain, especially in the left side, and palpitations of the heart, even paralysis, which would probably be quite severe. And very interesting, fascinating, listed for when we talk about a heart murmur, what kind of sound could it be? And they say purring. So you're thinking this purring sound like a cat. Specific remedies for that are glonine, iodatum, pyrogen, spagilia, and sulfur, and also causticum. We've got the rheumatism. It's part of the name. And there could be shocks and spasms, strains and weakness, problems with the circulatory system, inflammation in the circulatory system, and probably nutritionally we could see what can we do to reduce inflammation. Probably our omega-3s would be a good thing, and reducing other types of foods that are going to cause inflammation. I know a lot of people today are reducing their carbs, are reducing their fatty foods, fried foods. We have, again, I mentioned earlier, angina from rheumatism. Here, lithium carb, again, and simisifuga. Cactus is a major remedy. And just imagine the sensations and feeling. If you were a cactus, what it feels like when there's this enlargement and expansion as the water intake comes into the plant itself and the tightness that it must feel and the way that the ribs along the cactus appear as if this is the rib cage of the heart and inside. So you can see the comparison and the similarity between the cactus and the heart itself. And I think we have a number of discussions on Homeopathy World Community talking about the remedy cactus. It's very fascinating. So for today, we're going to end the show. It's coming up, and we're going to welcome Dr. Otto for future shows when the connection is much, much better. We always appreciate having his wisdom. Please go to Homeopathy World Community, and you will see on there a link with his photo on the right-hand column, and it will take you to all of his previous shows with his wisdom. He has a new website. Trying to find what the name of that website is, but we will inform you in the future how to reach him, because he has helped so many people recently with these shows have reached out across to different continents. He has heard, people have contacted him with special involved serious cases, and he has been able to respond and take those cases on and seen so many improvements with the cases, and we want to find out what has happened. He's going to tell us what has happened with those cases over the period of time. And I also want to send a note about, let me see if I can find it. I know that he sent me, there is going to be something special coming up, a special program coming up dealing with the heart. And I need to just search out what that is today. If you can hold on, maybe hum a little bit until I can find that information. Somehow it's not showing up in my notes. So what we're going to do is I will upload new information and post it out and probably send a message out to everyone regarding today's show. And regarding, I will put it on the events page. So I want to thank everyone for listening. Don't forget to share, put it on Facebook, put the widget, the live shows onto your blogs, onto your websites. Go on Twitter, tell other people that we have these shows. On Thursday, Alan Phillips comes on and talks about vaccinations and your rights in the United States. I'm sure he's planning something good for this Thursday. Dr. Christina Chambreau comes on at 1 o'clock Eastern Time in the United States, talking about pets and homeopathy. She is a filled with wisdom and experience for all different kinds of pets, dogs, cats, birds, horses, and we're looking forward to her show as well. On Monday evening, starting up in January again, Grant Bentley from Australia is going to be talking about facial analysis and homeopathy. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we're going to end the show today. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Heart Health and Homeopathy on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopath Debbie Brock and Dr. Adil Chimthanawala Tasveen, MD cardiologist. We encourage you to follow our show, click the reminder button to receive email notices when the show airs, and share with friends on Facebook and Twitter. Please send in your comments and questions, and we'll see you next time.